everybody. Welcome to the Film Pigs podcast. This is a last minute bacon audition edition. I have auditions on the mind.
Yeah, really. It's like, yeah, it's so last minute. You don't even know what you're doing.
You know why I have auditions on the mind? Because I haven't had one in like a week and a half. What the fuck?
You're going stir crazy.
I'm going nuts, you guys. Anyway, so this is it was going to be what was the name that you gave the middle version of the Pigs podcast?
Oh, with the mid-range version of the podcast is called that's called the Pig Picture.
Oh, right, the Pig Picture. That's what we were going to do with the What Have You Seen Lately and a discussion and a game. But unfortunately, our other pig, Steve Falk, is unable to join us, and we're sad about that, and we wish him the absolute best, and we will see him next month on this very podcast, in which we'll play the game that I wrote for this week.
It's an already prepared game.
It's ready. It's a game that
you've got that one in the hopper.
Yeah, I got it in the hopper. I got giant fights waiting to happen. It's going to be great. But since we're just baconing it, I figured we'd just do those other segments. What have you seen lately? And then our discussion. So I'm Todd Anderson, the bacon host, and I'm here with Film Pig Steve Skelton.
Hello, I am not the host.
He's not the bacon host. He's the bacon sounding board, the bacon expert,
the respondent,
like co-host. I mean, it's co-host, I guess.
Who knows?
Just be co-host.
I don't like to label things. I don't like labels.
No, I thought that's what our society was about.
It's just, everyone's everything, man.
Yeah, man. Everyone's everything. So I don't know how many titles you jotted down. I have to jot down one more because I forgot. But
I had a few, and then I was like, I wrote them down, and I'm opening them, and then I accidentally opened my my lab results from my physical last week.
Oh, well, let's talk about that. How'd you do?
Actually, quite well.
How's your? Let's start with the simples. How is your blood pressure?
The pressure's a little high, but not alarming. Not like I think I was like, shit. I wrote it's not on these. This is all the blood and stuff. What was the? It was at the upper end of normal range.
Okay. I have elevated blood pressure all the time. So
yeah, it wasn't like anything that my doctor was like, your head's gonna explode scanner style.
That's what my doctor said. He said, and then I had to come back a month later after he put me on the new pills. And
it's never good when your doctor like looks at your test results and goes,
uh oh. Your blood pressure's a bit high. No, it was kind of through the roof sort of deal. And he's like, are you nervous? And I was like, but my blood pressure's always elevated when I first go to the doctor. When I get to the doctor, it's always higher than it.
It's just kind of a standard doctor anxiety.
Yeah. But it's been so through the roof, and I've been monitoring it myself. And I mean, I have hypertension. It's just a thing, but it's like ever since I got COVID, I keep getting really high blood pressure readings.
COVID or something. Yeah, it's kind of long COVID kind of, lingering symptoms. I've been pretty tired lately, so I'm wondering I'm pretty sure I had it COVID over like the Christmas break. But like I've said before, it took me so long to get a damn PCR test scheduled that it was like past 5 days by the time I got the test taken. So it came back negative. So I was like, I almost didn't even go. Cause like, what was the point? I'm like, but fuck it. Fine. Just in case but so I guess I could, what's the other kind of test that you can get a test that can say
like an antibody date?
Yeah. Yeah. If I could get one of those, I guess to determine if I ever actually had it, but I'm pretty sure I did.
Did you get yours from the government? I got mine from the government a bunch.
The COVID?
At home COVID tests.
Oh, yeah. I did the at homes. This was like
I didn't get COVID from the government. I got it from a guy on a plane.
Yeah. No, this is like, I was talking about like at Christmas when you couldn't get those fucking anywhere.
Oh, yeah, because they were sold out. Yeah, of course.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And before the government decided, I guess maybe we'll toss you a couple of bones.
Yeah.
With some a few COVID tests.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As opposed to like, you know, monthly N95s and tests.
But it's all fine because the president has COVID and it's right. Fine. And he's still working. He keeps working.
And we're about to be killed by monkeypox anyway. Yeah, so,
Jesus. Are you going to get a monkeypox vaccine?
Well, there is no monkeypox vaccine. It's a smallpox vaccine.
I thought there was a monkeypox vaccine.
I don't think there is. I think they've always used, I mean, there might be, but I thought I read that it's the smallpox vaccine has always been used for
monkeypox. Oh, maybe that's what it is. Okay.
I might be wrong.
I thought there was like
I'm not a doctor.
I thought people were waiting in line for monkeypox
for a vaccine, but I don't know if they're getting like a monkeypox, you know, branded TM monkeypox vaccine, or if they're just getting the smallpox vaccine.
Oh, okay. All right, that's interesting.
My numbers are good. My cholesterol is all in range, which is good.
That's great.
Because I do take statin, you know, for cholesterol, because I do kind of naturally.
Can I ask you a question?
High cholesterol.
If you eat grapefruit, what happens when you're on the statin?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up because it always says in the bottle, don't eat grapefruit. And hang on a second. I'm just going to Google that.
Only because, you know, my cholesterol levels were up last time, and if I don't get it, I've really gone on a kind of a diet deal. But
okay, grapefruit juice can cause the statin to stay in the body much longer, and then drug can build up, increases risk of muscle breakdown, liver damage, and kidney failure.
Oh, God. All right. So it's a slow poisoning. It's a slow.
Yeah, if you want to, slowly poison someone with prescription generic drugs and fruit, that's the way to do it. it's the perfect crime.
I'm scared of going on cholesterol medicine which they'll probably put me on eventually because I'm old and I'm a man and I'm a white shitty man. They'll give me all the, but I love grapefruit.
Really? I've never liked grapefruit.
I love
so it didn't
grapefruit.
Really like I read the, you know, the bottle where say, hey, don't eat grapefruit if you're taking these statins. I'm like, oh, fine. I don't give a shit about grapefruit.
Yeah. That's like when people tell me I got to boycott Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
Where's
like,
that?
Yeah. No, if it had said like, you know, hey, you know, don't drink scotch on this, I'd be like, I guess it's high cholesterol for me.
That's just how it's going to be.
Yeah, these are the choices one has to make. But all my cholesterol levels are all within range, which I was actually kind of surprised at because I've been eating like shit for the last, you know, few months.
Oh, yeah.
So I was actually expecting some of that stuff to be out of range, but it wasn't.
But
do
you think that's the medicine or just?
Well, it's partial. I think. I mean, it's you know, it's definitely the medicine, but it's definitely, you know, the statin. But it's also, I mean, I've been eating like shit, but I think I also like I don't eat as shitty as I did, you know, 5 years ago
sure.
or 10 years ago. It's like I love like pizza and burgers and shit. There is a threshold where I just like I can't have
have those things and it's one or the other. I can't have both throughout the week. It's like one of the I have my one meal that's shit. It's either a pizza or a burger or something like fish and chips, something deep fried, you know, whatever, any crap like that once a week is as many as I can have.
Yeah, because usually what I try and do is like actually like make some like steamed vegetables and rice and that kind of stuff. I actually try and do, but I haven't been doing that lately. So
it's hard
to get back to that.
It's hard to cook for yourself. It's certainly, it's one of the things like the temptation to DoorDash, Grubhub, all that stuff.
Oh, I've blown so much fucking money Grubhub and DoorDash in the last few months, but it's also, some of it is also because like, you know, I wrecked my car like,
right,
you know,
right.
3 months ago. So, you know, I'm like, you know, I've kind of settled into the laziness of not having a car and having just things brought to me. it's not good. That it's not tenable. It can't continue.
No, you have to at least get on a bus.
Yeah, but but that's it. But so the cholesterol numbers are all in pretty good shape. I only have a couple little things that were kind of a little bit out of range, which aren't too bad. Vitamin D is a little low, but that's because I've been inside for two years.
Do they want you to take a supplement or just
My doctor's just like, just start taking some fucking vitamin D.
Yeah.
So just going to, you know, do that, which is fine. And my poop card was immaculate.
You got a good poop card?
Yeah. You know, and you have to brush your poop on the little card. which simultaneously like is kind of like puts you like in awe of what science is and like how that's all science needs to like do actual real health important health tests and to find out if like you're bleeding internally and you know all that this kind of really kind of amazing stuff. But at the exact same time, the flip side is you feel like an idiot standing over your toilet, like just painting your poop onto a little card. But you know what I will say though is, and I'm looking at the results right now, my specimen quality was adequate and fecal globin not detected, which is what you want to see. Although at first I read it as
does it literally
goblin.
Say adequate though?
Yeah, it's adequate. and I first read fecal globin as fecal goblin. But also not detected was a good result either way.
I've had a fecal goblin.
Yeah, you don't want that.
That's
you
bad.
Want not detected.
Bad.
Get
them goblins out of your feces.
Yeah, so I all that lab stuff looks good. So next I got coming up, I got my stack of insurance approved stuff. So I got my shingles vaccine coming up.
I have my second one. Have you had your first one or your?
No, I haven't had any yet. I'm getting the shingles and the pneumonia.
I hear the second one is the one that fucking hurts.
Is the one that knocks you out. Yeah. So I got that. I gotta get an eye exam because that last line was giving me a little trouble this time around. So I think I probably need some reading glasses. Finally. Mm-hmm. So I got to get that, but I called for an appointment. Then I'm like, yeah, September. I'm like, fine.
Yep.
So I got all that stuff is on the way.
I'm having like every time I go to the doctor, it's nothing but you're on the edge. You're going to die. I go to the dentist. I go to the dentist and they're like, this is terrible. You're going to die. Your gums and your teeth are going to be the death of you, basically.
Wow.
I mean, everywhere I go, I can't go to a single doctor who's like, things are going to be all right for you. They're all like, you're fucked everywhere I go.
Well, I mean, maybe my doctor's lying to me. I mean, that's entirely, I mean, you know, he might be, you know, who knows? This could be like a very elaborate prank.
That's true. Well, anyway, this is a podcast about movies, not health. But it's important that we dive into our health because we are the podcast hosts.
Yeah.
So that's...
Yeah. Well, because you never know when you're going to run into a Dr. Giggles.
Oh, yeah. Because that doctor is out
of his mind.
Except when he's in.
Insane!
Okay, so speaking of Dr. Giggles, which is a movie, have you seen any movies? What have you seen lately, Steve Skelton?
What I have seen lately, the last thing I watched was The Gray Man on Netflix, which is the Russo Brothers action thriller starring Ryan Gosling and Chris Evans.
What are the Russo brothers?
Anna Day, what's her name from the Bond movie?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Armas? Armas?
Armas, yes. I don't know how you say it.
And it's a perfectly adequate $40 million straight to video actioner. That they spent $200 million making.
They spent $200 million on that thing?
It's a $200 million. Like, basically, like it's basic structurally. It's just it's a pretty, you know, kind of by the numbers, espionage, you know, badasses fighting each other, thriller kind of action or fist fight thing that it's normally would have been a $40 million Jason Statham movie.
Right.
And
so but, it doesn't make a tremendous amount of sense, but the lead is constantly getting in fights and yeah. doing stuff.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Violent things. He's very violent.
Except, you know, the only thing that makes it different essentially is they spent so much more money that there's lots of tons of more like CGI set piece explosion-y crash stuff. Okay. Whereas in the budget version, it would just be more physical fights.
Yeah. Yeah,
that, like are better.
Who's that guy? Scott Adkins? Is that
him? Atkins?
Adkins? Adkins?
I thought you were gonna say. I thought you were gonna say Scott Speedman.
No,
the Perfect Weapon.
Not Scott Speedman. No, Scott Speedman's not the Perfect Weapon.
Wait, who is
Jeff?
Who
is Jeff Speakman? Is the Perfect?
Oh, Jeff
Weapon.
Speakman. Scott Speedman. Jeff Speakman
is the guy from the vampires.
Is
show.
Yeah, vampire. No, he's the yeah. He's the
hybrid.
Underworld. He's the underworld guy.
He's half
hybrid underworld guy.
He's half vampire, half werewolf, and all bland.
I regret the error.
honestly, that's a terrible review for this film. I did watch the first 45 minutes of it. Right before.
Yeah, it's also too long. Like, it should have been a 90-minute movie.
I watched the first 45 minutes. And
it should have been a 90-minute, $50 million movie.
Sure.
And then they could have made three more Jason Statham movies.
I probably would have kept watching it if I didn't have to, you know, do stuff. That's why but I know that, you know, we were talking to our buddy Steve Falk, and he shut it off. He couldn't finish.
Oh, yeah, no, it's like, I totally understand why he shut it off. And it's like, eh.
But,
I don't even,
but
yeah.
Hillary, on the other hand, and this is Hillary in the movies, my wife Hillary, she, if there's enough money on the screen, it doesn't really matter. It's good. And she, because I didn't realize it's a $200 million movie.
Mm-hmm.
So we're 45 minutes into it. And she was like,
It's a ridiculous, irresponsible amount
yeah,
of money
yeah,
to have spent
on this
particular
but
movie.
I was saying to her, you know, so you like this. And before the movie, I was like, everybody who I'm talking to is saying this is no good. So just expectations lowered. By the 45 minute point, she was like, I have no problem with this movie. And I was like, I know why. Because there's so much money. You can see all the money. And she does love money. She loves shininess and money. That's
yeah.
why people like Marvel movies. It's just the money. It's looking at money.
Yeah, no. And that's, you definitely get with that. I mean, and like I said, it's like, you know, I didn't hate it.
Mm-hmm.
But I also didn't like it. I was like, it's perfectly serviceable. It's just, it basically is like, what if we took one of those Euro-financed straight-to-video actioners and on a lark, let's just spend a shitload of money on it and make it into a giant Marvel movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
I'll give you these two alternatives.
Okay.
For action.
To the gray man.
To satisfy your action needs.
Yeah.
First and foremost, I would suggest The Princess, if you haven't watched that.
Oh, yeah. I did like that. That was fun.
It's only 90 minutes.
Yeah, it's a tight 90 minutes. It's weird. It goes in and out a little bit, but who cares? Because it's got that kind of like, you know, raid structure,
yeah, yeah.
like self-contained marathon fight.
Yeah, with a crazy over-the-top arch villain.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's somebody said this on Twitter somewhere. I can't remember where I read it, but somebody was just saying, or I know, it's my friend Seth. That's who said it to me. He said, it's the kind of movie that knows exactly what it is, tells you what it is, and then does what it says it's going to do.
Yeah.
Which is why it's satisfying, even though, you know, tonal shifts and...
Yeah, but it's like, but again, it's like, you know, that's like, for my money, it was, you know, I definitely enjoyed that a lot more than Gray Man, for sure.
And then the other action movie I saw, which is another, at least in this country, a straight-to-streaming movie, is the French film... starring that guy from Lupin. Do you watch Lupin?
Whoa, yeah, wait, what is that? I don't think I've seen this.
It's called The Takedown.
Yeah, I have not seen this, but I've seen the... Is it on Netflix or is it on...
It's on Netflix. Yeah, it's on Netflix and, you know, it's just... It's sort of a throwback to 80s buddy cop comedies, really. But with, like, new twists and, you know, French jokes. I thought it was really funny. The action was fun enough. It worked for me. But you know, the two actors were having a great time together. And they're kind of really funny characters. I mean, there's the guy...
Yeah, I have to watch that.
There's the guy from Lupin. And then there's his a white counterpart who's a total douchebag. Like a hundo douchebag. And it's very funny. It's just a funny idea. But simple, you know? It's just simple. Yeah. It's just a buddy cop movie. And the action's good.
I watched the Triple R or RRR.
Oh yeah, I haven't seen that.
The
yet.
Bollywood.
It's like 3 hours. It's so daunting, that concept of 3 hours.
And boy, does it drag in the middle. Oh my god. Yeah. So yeah, it does not need to be 3 hours. It's still quite a bit of fun. Like I think, like I texted you, it's like they don't even finish getting through the whole title sequence and showing the full title of the movie until like 45 minutes into the movie, by which point there have been 3 different action set pieces. So it definitely starts strong.
And there's a lot of dancing, right?
Yeah. No, and there's some fun dance sequences. There's like a dance battle sequence at one point, but it really seems to compartmentalize its stuff, like compartmentalizes its action, and then there's some dance, and then there's the kind of the melodrama that goes on, and then maybe there's another dance, and then there's action, and then there's melodrama. Like it doesn't mix them up enough. Yeah. And that's, I think, why it ends up, for me anyway, dragged a lot in the middle, because that's where it stopped doing action or dancing for a long time and just did the melodrama, which I was like, this plot is kind of incomprehensible, so I don't feel the need to know it, because when it's cooking, it's just fun, so that's all I need. But still, that's also on Netflix. But yeah, if you're ready to settle in for the evening, it's pretty fun.
Yeah, I do want it. It's on the list. It's just part of it is squeezing in 3 hours. You know.
Yeah,
I've already seen the Batman, and that like
it took a lot. It was also way too long.
Way too long, and not good. And it's only been
somebody. I think it was like maybe Patton Oswalt or somebody on Twitter said of the Batman that they enjoyed it, but it did feel like, you know, these comic book movies are getting so long and way too long, and just would love to see somebody do like a tight 90-minute Batman movie, like The Raid, like Batman stuck in a building with a bunch of bad guys and him having to fight his way out.
Yeah, that would be cool.
And you're like, yeah, that actually at this point would, like, the Dread take would be the fresh take on like a Batman movie, where it's like, yeah, let's make it short, sweet, nonstop action and low stakes. Where it's just Batman trying to survive.
Yeah. You don't need the highfalutin concept.
Yeah, I don't need a 3-hour freaking Batman movie.
What else have you seen?
Hang on. I got a list here somewhere. I'm trying to remember. I did just watch recently, because it's streamable now, Men.
Oh, yeah.
Garland Horry.
Where is that streamable?
I can't remember.
I want to see that.
It's interesting. Like, I like Garland, and his movies are really shot beautifully.
I liked Ex Machina. I was not a fan. I was not a fan of Annihilation.
I didn't love Annihilation, but I didn't not like it, because again, it was like really kind of beautiful and dreamlike. And Men is very slow burn, and then gets pretty wacky. I think it's Rory, the actor Rory Kinnear. His work in it is really good, and crazy and maniacal. I think it's Rory Kinnear, or I'm mixing up Rory and Greg Kinnear, who is not a British actor. Hang on. Let me just look him up real quick, because it's the bacon. Who knows? You know,
all right.
We're a flightless bird tonight.
Yeah, it's sad. How would you compare it to?
Yeah, Rory Kinnear. That's who it is.
Men compared to. Do you see Crimes of the Future?
Yes.
Men compared to that, like the weirdness. I mean, the weirdness.
I think it's kind of in the ballpark. It's in a bit of that Cronenberg-y ballpark, especially the Act Three climax.
Does it have a bit of the body horror in the?
Oh yes, yeah. Quite interesting. I'm still not quite sure what to make of it because it is a kind of a, you know, statement on toxic masculinity and misogyny, and I'm still not quite sure what the ultimate message was in the in Act Three, what it was trying to say, or if it was just kind of maybe being a little too pretentious with its message.
Right.
But it's still, there's a lot of gross body horror in Act Three, so that's interesting, at least.
Yeah, that is good.
So and it's executed very well. You know, it's you know, the performances are all really good, and the gore and effects are pretty nice, and looks beautiful. So yeah.
Did we talk about Crimes of the Future last time?
I can't remember.
I don't know.
Maybe a little bit, because it was. I think we were like, yeah, it was all right, but
yeah,
you know, it was like it felt more like old school Cronenberg, but not as good as old school Cronenberg. You know, quite.
Yeah. And there were I don't know. With that movie, there were bits that made me laugh, and I felt like I wasn't supposed to laugh. But I've been told that I was supposed to laugh.
I think Cronenberg is cool if you laugh anywhere in any of his movies.
Yeah, I like every time Viggo Mortensen is in that fucking chair trying to eat.
Yeah, hilarious.
It's really funny.
And I loved his weird cough. Like, that choice I thought was, like, so strong. And, like, he's like, you know what? Like, we're going to play this note fucking loud every time. And I said, yeah, you play that note loud, Viggo.
Good for Viggo. I also saw the Beavis and Butthead Do the Universe.
Oh yeah, picture. Yeah, that was a fun picture show.
I had no problems with it. I laughed a lot.
Yeah, it was goofy and it was, silly and it was, kind of a nice, yeah. You know, nice drink of water.
It's probably just, you know, nostalgia porn for us people of our generation. But one of the things that I liked about it was it didn't feel like it was trying to reach for a new audience. It felt like this is fucking Beavis and Butthead, folks.
Yeah, it's like we're not gonna try and like reboot or reinvent Beavis and Butthead for the new generation. We're just gonna do Beavis and Butthead. We're just gonna do like a really long Beavis and Butthead MTV episode.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and that's what you're getting.
Yeah, and it's I thought it was delightful. I really liked it. I had fun. But yeah, I'm a Beavis and Butthead guy, so.
But it was a fun. It's like also kind of like it was a fun goof around, and there's not a lot like, there's not a lot of fun goof around movies.
No, there aren't. That makes me
like
sad.
That's why I like Lost City too. That's like because that was, you know, a lot of people like you know poo pooed it because like it's just a Romancing the Stone ripoff. We're like yeah,
yes,
but it's a fun ripoff. And
nobody has really ripped off Romancing the Stone
ever. Jewel of the Nile. So it's like, you know, I was like, I'm totally cool with that because this was just a fun goof around.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It was totally fun. And I kind of want to see the train movie with Brad Pitt because that looks like a fun goof around action show too. And I like the idea that he did the, you know, little supporting kind of cameo thing.
In Lost City for Bullock and she's doing the supporting thing.
So I'm all into it. It feels
I'll definitely see was it? It's just called Bullet Train, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'll definitely see that because the trailer looks pretty fun. You know, it looks like it's going to be at least, even if it's a mess of a movie, it's still going to have some fun bits.
Yeah, it'll be decent enough. It can't be any worse than a shoot 'em up, which, you know, I've watched so many times. It's stupid. the only movie I've seen in the theater, I think since the last time we talked, was The Black Phone. So
I didn't see Black Phone in theater. Like, I think Top Gun was the last one I saw in the theater. We talked about that last time.
We got up the guts to go see a matinee of Black Phone in the middle of the week. Summertime is cool with my family because of the school thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, we could go to a screening where there weren't too many people because it freaks me out going to the movies.
Oh, yeah. No. That's like when I Top Gun for me, it was like the earliest, the first showing of the morning I could find.
Yeah. We waited for several weeks to see Top Gun because I just wanted the crowds to be thin. But I did see Black Phone and, you know, it was people love this movie. And everybody I know knows one of the writers. So, you know, I'm hesitant to say anything negative about
it. But you didn't like it or you just didn't love it like everybody else?
I didn't love it. And by the end, I thought it was silly.
Okay. So, I haven't seen it because I am kind of enjoying. I've never been a huge Ethan Hawke fan, but I am kind of enjoying this Hawkeissance.
In the horror genre specifically.
Like, he's kind of having, kind of like, this kind of pop culture-y, like, and not
and
like...
And westerns and stuff, he's doing a lot of
westerns and Moon Knight, and, you know, he seems to just be having a good time, and in this kind of, like, you know, pop culture stuff that he's kind of jumped into... He's also kind of has the best kind of take on it where everybody's arguing about like okay, comic movie, they're not art and this isn't. And he's just like, look, everything is its own thing.
It's fucking movies. It's,
you come in and you do the work in this here and it's like this here and you do it like this over here and it's different over here and everything's good. So don't like, he's like, let's.
That's kind of everybody.
He's got the best kind of attitude it feels like about because it's also, it's like, you know, because. You know, the comic book movies and the Marvel stuff in particular is so dominant that it is kind of the, you know, the Western genre used to be. The Marvel movies of the time. That's kind of where it's like there's another one.
Yeah.
We're doing another one.
Ethan Hawke is in a good actual Western, which is in the Valley of Violence, which I really liked. I mean, and he's very good. I actually liked him in this movie. I thought he was sufficiently creepy in the right kind of way. And I like this movie, I thought was like the first act was really good and drew me in. And I liked the characters and all that stuff. And the weird thing was, is that I felt it added all, like by the time you get to the second act, it starts stacking all these supernatural things. Into folding those into the story. And I realize the Black Phone is this supernatural thing. But it's sort of like, did you see Room? Not The Room, the bad movie, the movie just called Room based on the novel Room.
That sounds familiar, but... What is it?
It's about a woman who's kidnapped and held in captivity, and she gives birth in captivity, and she has a child.
Captivity.
So you have this captive child element of that movie, and it's just I thought that movie was, you know, really unsettling and terrifying, and wasn't technically a horror movie. I guess it's like a drama or something, or I don't know what you call that movie, but it's really creepy. But it's like, I saw that movie, never thought to myself, this movie would be much better with a magical phone.
If there was like a supernatural phone.
I didn't need that. And then, so you have this supernatural phone. And then in addition to that, there's also like somebody's got The Shining. It's very Kingy, which, you know, stands to reason.
Well, isn't it? It's Joe Hill.
Is his last name
Hill? I think it's Joe Hill.
It goes with Hill.
So it kind of is layering in like too many.
At a certain point, that's what became silly to me. I was like, all right, there's too much supernatural stuff at this point. I mean, not
enough of a story reason for this extra supernatural bit to be needed.
It's just, well, yeah. And it's like in the more it went along, the more I was like, why are all these ghosts helping him now? Did they help each other in the past? Did other kids?
Now, taking that to the extreme would make a really good sketch.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you just keep dumping in a new, like, Stephen King style supernatural, you know, bit or twist,
right.
or power. Like, and you never actually can get to the story.
No. And that movie just ends with a rabid dog bursting through a window. And that's it. that's great. Yeah, I get people liking it. I thought it was well made, certainly very well acted. I thought the characters were really well drawn and well written, and the dialogue was well written. It was just like the supernatural elements at a certain
just
point.
Too much for you.
I couldn't hang out with it. The other movie that I saw, do you have others?
I saw Lightyear.
Oh, how was Lightyear?
It was fine.
Yeah.
You know,
are you mad that Tim Allen didn't get to do the voice? Poor Tim Allen.
Yeah, boy. Timmy. He's just crying in his piles of money.
I love all the celebrities going to bat for Tim Allen. Why didn't they let Tim Allen?
over an inessential movie. Like, ultimate, like, Lightyear's fine. It's got Pixar's got a minimum quality level that is, you know, generally head and shoulders above most everybody else storytelling wise. They've got that down pat. So it's fine, you know, but I watched it wondering trying to figure out how it's just an inessential Toy Story related movie.
There's nothing.
It's a weird concept. We're going to tell the real story of the guy who inspired the toy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's a science fiction movie, so he's not real.
Okay. He's a movie character.
I remember. If I remember right, at the beginning of Lightyear, there's like a card that says this is the movie that inspired the toy.
Right.
This is the movie that the toy was made from.
So it's a fictional cartoon movie that you're watching.
Right. Yeah, it's like the meta level that you have to jump through.
Yeah.
I think it was too much of a leap for audiences. Like, they were like, even when they got it, they were like, yeah, but that took me too long to figure out, so now I don't like this.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally understand that. For me, it's a movie, and I normally, you know, Pixar movies interest me and I want to see them, but this one, I when I saw the trailer, I was like, what?
Yeah, and again, it's like, yeah, like I said, it's fine, but it's not nearly as good as like Turning Red was.
Turning Red was good.
So it just, you know.
Yeah,
it was fine.
Yeah,
it was fine.
Yeah, I no longer have a small child, so I don't need to see it. The last movie I watched in its entirety was a movie on Hulu.
Hulu,
which apparently won't air an ad from the Democratic Party saying that Republicans are monsters. Hulu has refused to air it, and people are
taking a brave stance by supporting Nazis.
Yeah, so people are saying that I should cancel my Hulu subscription, but I did watch The Ledge, and before you cancel it because Hulu is apparently a Nazi sympathizer. maybe give this movie a shot. It's called The Ledge. It's an hour and a half movie. And here's why it worked for me, because it's a mountain climbing movie. Okay. Jammed into a really bad thriller. And And the bad, like the first act of the bad thriller is basically, you know, it's, you know, ridiculous. It's like four dudes turn up in the cabin neighboring these two mountaineering young women. And then it becomes like the movie Very Bad Things for the first act. You know what I mean? But then one of the two women witnesses the very bad things happening to her friend and gets it on camera. And then the very bad things boys, led by one very particular homophobic psycho who's constantly dropping homophobic slurs. But you're like, Jesus, what an asshole. What a monster. Why are these guys with him? Why are they, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, when I watch things like that, it stretches credibility because I'm like, why would all three of these guys fall in with this total psycho douchebag and do whatever he says when he wants to rape and kill a woman and all that stuff? But, you know, then I think like that's my immediate reaction when I'm watching it. It seems kind of ridiculous. But then I'm like, I live in America. So even though.
But then you think about what's happening in the real world. Yeah. You're like, this actually is straight on the money.
Totally makes sense. So, you know, dialogue's not great. You know, the actors are doing the best they can with it. And it's, you know, the bad guy-ness is over the top. But like I said, maybe it's not. But it just kind of feels arch and silly. But you get into the mountain climbing stuff and it's really well shot and the computer effects are rendered enough, and it's dizzying. Oh. So it like, and 'cause I have a fear of heights, totally gave me the sweaty palms.
Wow.
Totally worked on me. And it's got problems. It's got, you know, because it's a 90-minute low budget mountaineering thriller. There's points where characters are talking for a little too long in between sequences, but I totally could forgive it that because when it's happening, it's, you know, it's really scary. It worked for me. So if you're in the mood for like 90 minutes of like sweaty palms, The Ledge is worth a shot.
If you're in the mood for a movie that will confuse you and you'll turn it off after 40 minutes, you could try and watch Inside Man 2. on Netflix, or it's like, I think it's Inside Man Most Wanted.
Oh Jesus.
But it's exactly one of these, like, you know, like loosely related sequel kind of low budget. It's got Rhea Seehorn from Better Call Saul in it. I think it's from 2019, so it's clearly like, you know, that kind of career stage of, oh, okay, you know, we can get a good paycheck for doing some, you know, low budge thriller stuff, you know, in your hiatus from Saul, and she's very smartly taking advantage of that.
Good for her.
And that's why, like, I was flipping through, it was like, Inside Man,
she should be,
and like Rhea Seahorn's,
the lead of B movies, supporting lead.
Great. I think I tried to watch this like a week ago, and I don't remember anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's one of those, you know, those, you know, mid range low budge thrillers that are basically just a lot of characters randomly talking to each other for extended sequences. In between, like, maybe one shootout.
Yeah, it's
like,
because
they don't have enough money to do like a good shootout.
That's the thing. I mean, like the names that they spend money on, you know, the lady from Breaking Bad, but they spent money on her. They put their money into the cast, so it looks awesome to foreign markets.
Yeah,
and then
for some reason they decided like Inside Man is the property. We want to build this sequel around for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's all bullshit.
Like, and that's not a dig on the original. I like the original Inside Man movie. I think I liked it a lot. But it was also a movie. It was like, I never imagined there would be like an Inside Man, you know, cinematic universe of we're going to really go somewhere with this world. It's contained, self-contained story.
Well, and it's a particularly weird movie to make a straight-to-video sequel like
like off a Spike Lee movie. Like
trying to make a franchise out of a Spike Lee movie. Like what? It's weird. It's very weird. I mean, God bless, and I hope Spike got some cash.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh, I'm sure he. Yeah, I have no doubt.
Give Spike some cash.
Yeah.
And give me some cash.
Yeah, that would be nice. In fact, you know, I would be more than happy to work on Inside Man 3.
Yep, I'm ready.
Like, you know, please don't take this criticism as any kind of like, you know, I'm not above it. You know, I'd be happy thrilled, to work on Inside Man 3.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Even what we're still inside?
Yeah. I'll do whatever Hellraiser movie they're on. I don't care. Put me in a Children of the Corn picture. I'll do that. Sharknado. You know, whatever.
Anything with sharks.
Anything with sharks would be good.
Yeah, shark anything I'm good with.
Did you see that?
Sign me up.
Did you watch that Alicia Silverstone one?
Yeah, I did. It was really, really... I mean, for a good portion of it, I was like, did they shoot this in my apartment complex's pool?
Yeah.
Is that what all that I heard? Is that what all that noise was the other week?
I did an indie horror movie a few months back, and this one of the, there were two, it was a couple, married couple that did the makeup effects, but his specialty is building sharks for these.
Really?
He did that shark in that movie. He's done tons of like animatronic sharks.
Oh, that's awesome.
He puppeteers. And I was like, that's the coolest thing. And he showed me like footage of like when they were building it and like how it was being puppeteered as they were building it. It's really cool.
Okay, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. The thing about those low-budget shark movies is they look like shit. And part of the reason they look like shit is there's not enough money to shoot them well.
Yeah.
But it's not as if somebody didn't make an awesome shark puppet.
Yeah, didn't make a really good shark puppet. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they just didn't.
I wish we were still doing our web show and see if we could get a shark puppet.
Oh my god, that would be awesome! Yeah, have him come in and attack us with a shark puppet.
Yeah, no, just have the shark, you know, be one of the hosts behind the counter.
We could have had him build our red herring.
Yeah.
If you didn't watch the Film Pigs web series, we had a series.
Oh yeah, no. Let's stop and this is really let's explain.
Well,
we just did a
in joke. We have to explain it. The long story short, the joke was
it'll be hilarious.
The joke was an actual red herring, a killer fish, was what was killing people, not a red herring.
Is this how we're really gonna sputter this episode to a halt by explaining an old sketch we did?
Well, I was gonna do the thing I was gonna do, but obviously we were almost at an hour, so I don't need to. So yeah, let's just sputter this out with unless you want to do my thing. Do you want to do my thing?
What was your thing?
Well, I was gonna ask for therapeutic help.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, ask. We'll take 5 minutes. 5 minutes.
All right, maybe, you know. All right, here are my two things.
All right.
Like, that I don't understand. Like, I'm kind of depressed about the movies. One.
Okay.
I want to see Nope.
Yes.
And I would like to see Nope on opening weekend. But I was too afraid to see Nope. Not because I think Nope is going to be all that scary.
No, because you're going to get fucking COVID.
Yeah, man. Exactly. So... what the fuck? Is this the way it's going to be moving forward always? It's just going to be going to the movies is scary because of fucking COVID? I want to be scared to go to Nope because Nope is scary.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's what sucks is because we're collectively as a society. I'm trying to think of the word to use for how... we've responded collectively to this pandemic. The imbecile comes to mind, foolish, selfish for sure.
Completely disconnected from reality.
Yeah. Yeah. So unfortunately I think that means it's going to be what it is for a while. And also, and to a certain degree going forward, because, you know, we've let, you know, COVID get a foothold, and it's going to become endemic like the flu. So it's something we're going to have to be dealing with every goddamn year now, because, you know, we didn't, you know, shut it down and
when we could have,
you know, take a global response to it when we had the chance. Because, I mean, it's like, and as frustrating as that is for us here now, it's like we're relatively privileged, because if, you know, look over at Africa, where there aren't vaccines being distributed, there aren't, there's people in far greater need for that, you know, COVID treatment than we have here. And, you know, we should have been, you know, flooding the world with vaccines.
Yeah.
Well over a year ago. And we failed to do that. It's simply just something we have to deal with. So, yeah, I think, you know, it's going to be a while of the same kind of like, we're going to still have, you know, flare-ups and...
So here's the worst thing about this, I think they're going to... I already feel like they're not really making movies very much for me anymore as a 50-year-old person.
They're definitely not consulting you.
They're not consulting me, but I think that they're going to skew even younger. Those elements of cinema that we grew up on, they're going to throw out the window to appeal to younger audiences, because the opening weekend is what matters the most, and people who are older don't want to fucking get COVID. Going to be about selling movies to people who don't give a shit if they get COVID, which is mostly younger people, right?
Well, it's going to be a lot more kind of big bombastic, you know, comic booky stuff, because of the potential for, you know, theater closures and that kind of response. You know, studios are going to want to put movies in theaters that they think are going to make, you know, $500 million, $600 million, $700 million, $1 billion, despite that. So, you know, that's going to, I think it is going to make it a lot harder for, you know, smaller movies to get any kind of theatrical release.
Yeah,
they're gonna get pushed further and further, you know, into the streaming churn.
Yeah, and I don't know, that fucking bums me out. It makes me sad.
Yeah, no, it's very frustrating. It's like, I want to go to the movies, but I'm not gonna go because I know that, you know, the majority of the people in the audience are not behaving responsibly. They're not treating. Everyone thinks the pandemic's over for some reason.
Yeah, what the fuck is that? It just doesn't make any...
Wishful thinking.
It's beyond nuts to me. And then everybody's getting sick and having debates about masks again. It's like, you guys lifted the mask mandates and then the fucking things...
Yeah,
like mutated twice and spreads like wildfire.
Yeah, the airlines lifted their mask mandates as soon as they could, and then suddenly, like, their crews start getting sick, and they have to cancel thousands of flights.
Our whole
It's idiocy.
Joe Manchin is sick, for God's sake. The ruiner of all things on the left.
I'm not too broken up about that.
Yeah, well, I am, because, you know, he'll be fine. So that was like one of my big things, and you did not make me feel any better, but at least I don't feel like I'm alone.
You're not crazy.
All right. And then the other one was, maybe this makes me feel more alone. I don't know, but like my Marvel fatigue,
right,
is beyond. It's to the point where I just don't want to hear about it anymore. I don't want to hear how excited anybody is to see another Marvel movie, because I just, like, when people are like, Black Panther Forever, Wakanda, I'm crying at the trailer, and I'm like, what? I mean, I haven't seen the trailer. Maybe it really is. Makes you cry.
I understand your point, but I think the phenomenon of Black Panther is an exception. To that, because I think it has much greater cultural significance.
Sure, sure, yeah.
Than you know, like a you know, a Thor movie or a Captain America movie, and also, there should be an Oscar category for best trailer, and the Wakanda Forever trailer should win it.
Is it that good?
It's like you know, take away whether you know you give a shit about Black Panther or Marvel movies, just the construction of the trailer is. It's pitch perfect. It's really? A brilliant trailer. Huh. Yeah.
Well, maybe I should watch it before I judge these things. But my
But I understand.
I also don't want to see trailers.
The Marvel fatigue I totally get because, like, you know, I think a lot more tolerant and forgiving of the Marvel movies than you and definitely Falk because he hates all of them. But you know, because you know I grew up with the comics, and so you know I do have a certain affinity for it, but I've also, like, the last couple of movies, like the Doctor Strange sequel and the last Spider-Man movie, that, you know, everybody's like, the three Spider-Men, and I thought they were both really convoluted, clumsy movies.
That's what I heard about, my kid said about Thor. He said it was a mess. It made
I haven't seen Thor yet, but I still, you know.
And he was excited. My kid was excited to see Thor. He likes the Thor movies. And this one, he was like, it's garbage. It doesn't make any sense.
Ragnarok was a tremendous amount of fun. But, you know, but it seems like that the movies have leaned so far into the house style that the MCU has become, which is this kind of like very kind of like flat lit CGI heavy, clearly everything's in front of a green screen, which it's the Russo brothers that did it all, that solidified that that look. That it just seems like now they're like throwing, you know, you got all the way through the Endgame and it was kind of like, oh, okay, that was kind of an interesting even if you didn't like the movies, the whole concept of like making these giant series of interconnected movies that all culminate in a storyline was pretty damn ambitious, and they wrapped it up, and then it was like, so now what do we do? And now it just feels like the movies are just kind of floundering because they're not building to anything anymore. In theory they are, but they're really kind of splashing around.
But within their own individual narratives, they're floundering, and that's
across the board. It's because
they've gone back to the well too much. It's the easiest thing. They have this perfect corporate formula. You just pour the ingredients into the cookie cutters, and then boom, you have a movie. It costs a lot of money, but it makes a lot of money. But, it's not so much that they keep doing it. The reason they keep doing it is they keep making money. What bums me out is there aren't more people like me who are fucking exhausted and don't want to see that fucking shit and don't go.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that it's taking longer for the kind of the franchise fatigue to set in. That's kind of an interesting. I think that'll be an interesting thing to kind of study, in film studies, to look at, where it's like, you know, typically, you know, this. I think part of it is, because even though they're kind of, you know, the sheen of them are becoming a lot, looking a lot alike.
Mm-hmm.
It's you're kind of jumping from franchise to franchise. So instead of it like being like all Terminator or, you know, all Star Trek or, you know, all Superman, it's, you know, we went from Iron Man to Captain America to, you know, somebody else.
Right.
And then we'll just jam them all together, and then we'll go look at somebody else, and then there's Spider-Man. And so I think there's enough of like that flavor change, I think, has been enough to keep the audiences coming back for the kind of the familiar carnival rides that they've turned into. Because I think, you know, and the movies themselves seem to be getting more and more of detailed checklists of things they must do for the movie to be successful, which is why I think the TV shows are more interesting. And I think they're even, at least a couple of them have taken bigger risks.
Because they can.
Than the movies. Yeah. So, but that'll change too.
Well, yeah, eventually, I mean, it's got to fatigue out to the point where people just, there's going to be a bomb bigger than Morbius, I guess.
But
for
that's
Disney,
also
not Sony.
Yeah, that's the thing is like it, until Disney starts churning out Morbius level bombs,
it won't.
They're going to be insulated for, you know, 10 years, 10 more years of this.
Yeah,
because they just announced their next 5 years of movies.
I know Comic-Con. They announce it the same way like Steve Jobs announces software. You know,
yeah.
it just depresses me. It's not exciting to me. Like when people get excited about these announcements of like Phase 19 or whatever, it just bums me out. It doesn't make me happy. That's what I'm saying. It's like I want something like. When I found out like Cop Shop was coming out, I was excited, and then I was happily surprised that it lived up to all my excitement for it. But they don't make movies to excite me anymore. They just make movies for people who want CGI nonsense.
Yeah, I mean that's just. But again, it's like think of it. It's like the comic book movie is the modern day Western. That's the dominant
genre. I'd rather the Western come back because then it's not. There's not so much CGI. It's
right, but I can guarantee you at the height of Western's popularity, there was some guy sitting in his house going, "God, I'm sick of these fucking Westerns."
Oh no! I'll tell you what. If you dig deep into Westerns, they're interminable, awful. Most of them are awful. Well, you know, we remember the good ones, but I mean, like,
it's like some guy
just sit down with 10 John Wayne Westerns, two of them
some guy in the
good.
60s was sitting there just going, my God, I'd rather have 100 Batman movies than another damn Western.
Yeah, exactly. In another universe is the guy who's just, if I have to watch Jimmy Stewart in one more fucking cowboy movie, I'm going to kill myself. And you know what? I get that because I don't like Jimmy Stewart in Westerns either. He should have.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I share the same fatigue of the comic book movies in general, even though I still consume them, which I think is the proper verb to use for those types of movies.
Yeah, they're high calorie, deep fried consumptions. Yeah,
they're why I have to take my statins.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, you know, I went to the fucking dinosaur movie, so, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't go to that. I watched it, and I was bored by it.
You don't like giant locusts?
The football-sized locusts?
You don't like those?
That fucking Law and Order doctor felt sad about?
Yeah, for me, it was fine because, you know, I don't know, Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard together, it's just sparks. It's fireworks. It's impossible to take your eyes off of it. So, you know, the flying locusts, it didn't bother me. I was there from a Bryce and a Chris.
Did I text you in Falk where I was like, I think like Jurassic World Dominion is like in pre-production, they like three PAs crashed into each other and mixed up the scripts for like a Jurassic World sequel, a National Treasure sequel, and some other like reboot. And then they just shuffled them back together and didn't bother like finding out what movies they came in, and they just shot it.
Yeah, it was like there were so many rewrites that they got lost.
It was just like suddenly like every 10 minutes, the movie changed what it was, you know, like it was like what, and like it's like long stretches of that movie where you didn't see any dinosaurs.
I feel like they took outtakes from all the other movies and they just they jammed it together. That's why Jeff Goldblum and Laura Dern and Sam Neill were all in there, is because those are really just old outtakes and they just jammed them in there. And use CGI to marry it all.
In an unprecedented reversal with CGI, they used old unused Jurassic Park footage and up aged Sam Neill and company. to make it seem like they were really there.
Such a weird movie. Such a weird movie. And it was weird too how like the two, it was like the narrative created two vying casts from, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
It was, they weren't like together hanging out. They were like sort of racing against each other.
Part, you know, part Da Vinci Code chase thriller, part like Towering Inferno disaster movie, part like, oh, a dinosaur sometimes. Yeah, it was a really bizarrely constructed movie.
Yeah. That's why I'm still saying that the best Jurassic Park, and it was 2.5 hours. It was 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I was asking way too much of my time.
Too many locusts and not enough dinosaurs. That's why, I mean, I still think that the best one in the entire 6-movie franchise is Jurassic Park 3.
With Michael Jeter?
With Michael Jeter. And the impossible marriage of that guy whose wife went to jail for collegiate scams. And Taylor Leone and William H. Macy, they were ever married? Okay. But it doesn't matter because it's only 90 minutes and there's plenty of dinosaurs.
On the long list of like movies, you know, movie franchises where, you know, the sequels have lost their original like creative helmers. So they're kind of just figuring out like, well, I don't know, what are we going to do now? And then end up making a movie that's not good, but still kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's like that's a Jurassic Park 3. You've got like Terminator 3. You know, movies that don't quite fit, but are still kind of fun.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The Hellraiser 3, where the demon kills people with flying CDs. You remember that?
Yeah, that's right. That's when he shot CDs out of his face. It was so stupid.
That's great.
Like, why is that?
I love it.
Why is that scary? It's like he's just I'm gonna fling these like flimsy polycarbonate discs around, and I'm a terrifying demon from another dimension. No, you're not. You're a teak CD player. That's malfunctioning.
Well, if you think that's bad, you obviously didn't get to Hellraiser Bloodline. Or
which one was Bloodline?
That was the fourth one.
Was that the one with the space station?
Yeah, there's a space station.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you saw that
one? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I saw Hellraiser Bloodline.
That was the last one they released in the theater.
Right.
But there have been like 7 more.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of them has, what's his name? Dean Winter, you know? From Oz. Yeah. That one's a good one. I can't remember what it's called, though. I want to say it's like Hellraiser Hellseeker. I think that's what it is.
Sure. Why not?
If look that up.
You know, if it's not called that, I'm positive at least one of the other ones is
called but
that.
I don't want you to watch one of the ones that's wrong. Just make sure Dean Winter's in it.
And right. Always check your Hellraiser sequel for Dean Winter. That's just good advice.
You've heard it here, folks. Very first. Always check for Dean Winter in your Hellraiser straight to video sequel. Important. All right, I guess we should wrap up this this meandered like Thor. What's the new one called? I could have gone out.
Love and Thunder. Oh, this is Film Pigs. Love and Thunder.
Yeah, we're going out like a. What's the guy who directed it?
Taika Waititi.
Taika Waititi. We're going out like a Taika Waititi Thor sequel. Meandering, right? But
that's what I've heard. I haven't seen it yet.
Well, that's what my son said. But you know, there's some good bits.
Yeah. So.
So same for us.
Sure. Yeah. It's apt.
I'm just saying we should get paid more money to do it.
Sure. Oh yeah, boy. Yeah. We should double our salaries.
Well, that's easy.
Done.
Consider it done. All right, good night, everybody. We'll see you next month on the Film Pigs. I've been Todd Anderson. This has been
Steve Skelton.
And thank you, as always, to Adam Blau for the music.
Adam Blau.
We missed you, Steve Falk, and we'll see you all next time, hopefully, with all the Steve.
All, every of them, every last one.
That should be a movie with Sandra Bullock. All the Steves. I'm a genius.